Archival say good morning, a good night. Let's begin. Today's daf is Peivav 86. We are picking up from Peihei Mudei's 85b, and we're picking up at the Tana Rabbanan, which is 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. I want to thank our breakfast sponsors this morning, to thank Josh Erez and John Kaplan for sponsoring the breakfast this morning. Also to thank Mr. Isaac Samuel for dedicating the sheer memory of his wife, Esther Basara Bichil Meira Cohen, and thanking Adam and Yudit Benzer for sponsoring all the Shurman this month, in honor of their Mishpacha, in honor of the Kehila. And we're blessed with that. We begin. Tan Rabbana, Ki Motze Ish Goneiv Nefesh Me'echab. So remember again, the Mishnah introduced us to the discussion yesterday regarding Goneiv Nefesh, regarding again kidnapping. So the Gemara says, the Bryce says the following, Ki Motze Ish Goneiv Nefesh Me'echab. A man will be found to be stealing another person from amongst his people, from his brethren. Eini Ela Ish Sheganav. I only know that there's responsibility if a man is a kidnapper. Isha Minayin, how do I know that even if a woman goes ahead and kidnaps someone, that she's chayav? That's Tavulomar v'goniv ish. Eini Ela Ish Sheganav ben Isha ben Ish. So the Gemara says, furthermore, I only know that if a man is chayav the kidnapping, whether he kidnaps a woman or a man, v'isha sheganva ish. And I also know that a woman is responsible, ultimately again, for going ahead and kidnapping a man. Isha sheganva isha minayin. How do I know that a woman is responsible for kidnapping another woman? So the Gemara says, Tamud lomar, umeis haganav ahu mikomakum. Because the Pasuk says, the thief will die. So since the Pasuk says, since ganav is non-gender specific, therefore what? Therefore, halacha lemaaseh, again, anyone's chayav for kidnapping anyone. Oh, thank you, Moshe. Sorry. Thank you. Says the Gemara, Tangi Dokar, another brayso that supports this. Ki matzei ish goneiv nefesh me'echav. The person will be found to be stealing a nefesh, a soul, from amongst his brethren. So echad agoneiv es ha'isha, echad agoneiv es ha'isha. So whether you're kidnapping a man, whether you're kidnapping a woman, ve'echad ger, ve'echad eved meshuchrar, or whether you're kidnapping a convert, or an emancipated slave. So of course, an emancipated slave, eved meshuchrar, is a bona fide Jew. V'katan, or for that matter, again, a katan, a child, chayiv. In all of these cases, one is chayiv. Gunvo v'lo machro. So let's listen to this case. Remember, we established yesterday in the Mishnah that in order to be chayiv for kidnapping, it's not just a din in kidnapping, but it's kidnapping and something else. Whether there's something else ultimately, again, is working the victim, or whether it's going ahead and selling the victim, there must be some additional material benefit, financial benefit, that the kidnapper receives from the kidnapped party. So gunvo v'lo machro, if he went ahead and he stole someone, Josh Gochan the breakfast, thank you. Gunvo v'lo machro, if a person went ahead and kidnapped someone but he didn't steal him, machro v'adayin yeshno birshuso, or he sold him but he's still in his rishus. Now who's rishus? If you look at the last Rashi, last line of Rashi, v'adayin yeshno birshuso birshus hanignav atzmo, shaday lo hechniso ganav birshuso. This is a case of where I kidnapped someone, but I've not yet removed him from his domain. I've not yet removed him from his rishos. Pater. We'll say in these cases, he pater. Machro lo avivo la'achav. So we'll say the idea over here that you see is that in order to go to Michai for kidnapping, you have to kidnap and sell, and there also has to be a removal of the victim from his domain. If the victim is still in his own domain, and still in his own rishus, then ultimately, again, one is not chai for kidnapping. Machro lo avivo la'achav. This is an interesting case. Let's say I kidnap Reuven, and I sell Reuven to his father or to his brother. So I'm selling him to a family member. O le'echam in akrovim, or to one of the other relatives. What's the halacha? Chayiv. Ultimately, again, I'm still chayiv. Now, we'll say we're going to question that in just a little bit. Hagoni v'esavad in pater. If I steal an eved, ultimately, again, I am pater. Top of pay bov. Tani tana kamed rav sheshes. Amarle. Ani shona Rebbe Shimon Omer. Me'echov. At shiotzi enu merishos echov. Va'at amrit chayiv. So we'll say comes along rav sheshes. And rav sheshes says the following. This is quotes from Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, before the Brisa said that if you kidnap someone, you sell them to their father or to their brother, you're chayiv for kidnapping. Yet Rabbi Shimon says that the pasuk says, ki matzei ish goneiv nefesh me'echov. So we'll say, what Rabbi Shimon's dashing over here is, me'echov means that you're only going to be chayiv for kidnapping when you kidnap someone and you remove him from his brethren. But if you are just going ahead and kidnapping him, selling him to his father, selling him to his brother, so that is not me'echav. ultimately, again, the person is still, quote-unquote, within his family, and therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, you're not chayif for kidnapping. Vat amrit chayif, you said you're chayif, to which the Gemara says, you're right, tani pater. In reality, ultimately, again, change around the girsa and say that if you kidnap someone and you sell them to a close family member, that in fact you will be pater, for that does not constitute a bona fide act of kidnapping. So my kosha, what's the question? Dilma harib shimon harabanan. Maybe it's just two different opinions. I was about to say, why the need to go ahead and change the text of the braisa? Why not just simply go ahead and say it's reflecting two different opinions? There's the Rabbanon, there's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that if you kidnap someone and sell them to a close relative, ultimately, again, you're not chayiv. The Rabbanon say you are chayiv, to which the Gemara says, lo sachdait chadam, Rabbi Yochanan, stam asdisin, Rabbi Meir, stam tosef, to Rabbi Nechemia, stam sifri, Rabbi Huda, stam sifri, Rabbi Shimon, the kulu alib Rabbi Kiva. So you both say, since we have this principle that a stam sifri is Rabbi Shimon, therefore, bepashtos, the brice that we quoted before also reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon in accordance to Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, again, all of this is based on what we learn from Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa makes more sense to go ahead and switch the girsa to pater than it does to go ahead and attribute it to a machlokes. Fine. So we'll say, so bottom line, the way the Rambam actually paskins, is that if one were to kidnap someone and sell that person, sell the victim, to the victim's father or to the victim's brother, one would not be chayiv misa for kidnapping. It is only if you sell someone to a person outside of their family that ultimately is one chayiv for kidnapping. Okay? Hagon leiv beno. So, let's remember again in the Mishnah, we had an interesting case. Now, what happens if somebody goes ahead and kidnaps his son? So, Rabbi Shmuel says, you're chayiv. Chachamim say you're putter. So says the Gemara, my time of the Rabbanon. What's the logic of the Rabbanon who say that you're going to be putter? So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, because Abaye says, Do Amar Kra, ki matzei prak lematzui. Because if we'll say, interestingly enough, so the Rabbanon will say, the pasuk says, ki matzei, if it will be found. I will say, if it will be found, the Gemara's understanding to mean prak lematzui. This comes to exclude someone who is always available to you. So ki matzei means if you happen to come across someone and you kidnap them. Lemeute, to exclude someone with whom you have constant access to. Therefore, again, the Rabbanon will say a son with whom you have constant access to. Therefore what? Therefore, if you kidnap him, you will not be chayiv. Amalei Rav Papa Labaye Elemeatov, using that logic, ki matzei ish shochev im isha bu'ulas bal. Well, so when the pasuk speaks about adultery, so the pasuk says if a man will be found to have relations with an isha bu'ulas bal, who is the wife of someone else, so we'll say, so the Gemara says over here, use those lashon of mi matzei. So you're going to say over here, hachanami ki matzei prat lematzui. Are you going to say, therefore, this excludes a woman with whom you have constant contact with? And I will say, now, what's an idea of a woman who you have constant contact with? This is actually very interesting. Gagon, shal beis ploni, dishrichen gabayhu. Like the people of that particular house who all live together. Now, what does this refer to? Look at Rashi. It's the last of the wide lines on the top of Rashi. Shal beis ploni, lo ratz lahaskir shman. So the Gemara did not want to name the particular family, a particular group of people who they were discussing. Shechashuvin hayu, because they were good people. Ubazelo hayu nogin kedasha, yu harbe darn bebayis echad, anoshim v'noshim, vayu mitsuyin tamit im noshe chavereim v'loshim isyakta. So we'll say, so apparently, there were a number of couples who lived together in a home. Now, there was nothing inappropriate happening. These were individuals of upstanding character and moral nature, and they were known to be very good individuals. The one deficiency was this living arrangement. They avoided yichud, they avoided any type of halakhically problematic scenarios, but this was a living arrangement that was frowned upon by Chazal. So Chazal didn't want to embarrass them because they didn't do anything wrong, technically, so therefore they don't name them. But the Gemara says, tell me then in a case like this, where these women are constantly available, quote-unquote, to these men, that there would not be an issue of adultery? So the Gemara says, says, no, I learned it out from the drush of v'nimtza biyado. So we'll say v'nimtza biyado means person kidnapped someone and the victim was found in his hand. This comes to exclude someone who is always found by you like a child. Amar Rava Hilchach, Rava says, therefore using this logic, hani mikri didardik you must rabbanon kimitzuyim biyado nami p'tiri. Therefore, both say, based on this, so the Gemara is saying over here, se'inachinami, both said, the way we paskin is that the father would not be chayiv for kidnapping a child. We pass like the Rabban. The Rabban passes like the Rabban. Father would not be responsible for kidnapping a child. And lemaisa, again, it seems to be based on this drasha of v'nimtza. So the Gemara says, by the way, based on this, the Gemara says that if a Rebbe, this is an interesting application, if a Rebbe were to kidnap a child, right? So again, on a technical level, there would not be a chiyuv misa for that. Why? Because the only time there's a chiyuv misa for kidnapping, Rabbi says, when you kidnap someone whom you do not have regular access to. But if you have regular access to the individual, there's not a chiyuv misa. Now, Rabbi says, it's bad, it's an isur d'oraisa, but there's not a chiyuv misa. Why is not a chiyuv misa? The truth is, it's a technicality. A person would get off on a technicality. Garav misha chatzion. So let's remember again, the next case of the Mishnah was, If you kidnap someone who is a half eved, half ben chorin, chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin, Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayiv, chachamim say you're pater. Tiran hasam Rabbi Yehuda omer ein la'avod in boshas. Rabbi Yehuda holds will say that in general there is no chiyuv boshas. Right, if one goes ahead and embarrasses a slave, so there is no chiyuv to pay for that humiliation. My time, Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's logic? I'm a crack because the pasuk says ki notzu anoshim yachdov ish ve'achid. Shabosai, because the pasuk says, the pasuk that speaks about boshas shabosai, refers to a situation where two men are fighting. Ish ve'achiv. Ultimately, the Torah identifies them as one man and his brother. Mishi ish lo'achva. So you see that boshas only applies to someone with whom you have a bond of brotherhood. Yotza eved she'in lo'achva. This comes to exclude an eved with whom you do not have a bond of brotherhood. The Rabbanon will say, Echafu b'mitzos, that's not true. Even with an eved, you have a bond of brotherhood. What's your bond of brotherhood with an eved? He's also chayv in mitzos. So also remember again, an eved has a chiv of mitzos like an isha, like a woman. An eved is exempt from all mitzos aseh shazman grama, but it's chayv in all of the mitzos. As such, there is a bond of achva with an eved, and as such, there should be boshas. So the Gemara says, Rabbanu achavu b'mitzos v'hacha heichi darash Rabbi Yehuda. So what does Rabbi Yehuda darash Rabbi say? In this case over here, where Rabbi Yehuda holds that you will not be chayiv, Rabbi Yehuda holds you are chayiv for kidnapping a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin. What's his logic? So the Gemara says, Savar me'achav la'afuke avadim. Supposed to listen to this. So we'll say, when dashing the pasuk by kidnapping, so Rabbi Yehuda dashes the following. When it says me'achav, so if you kidnap someone from your brethren, lafuke avodim, this comes to exclude an eved. Bnei Yisrael, when it says Bnei Yisrael, lemiute mishe chatziv eved chatziv ben chorin. Bnei Yisrael comes to exclude someone who is chatziv eved chatziv ben chorin. Mi bnei Yisrael, Rabbi say there is not only Bnei Yisrael, but mi bnei Yisrael, lemiute mishe chatziv eved chatziv ben chorin. That once again comes to exclude a chatziv eved chatziv ben chorin. Rabbi say now what do we have? Havi miut achamiut. So what's, we have two exclusionary phrases. Now in general, whenever you have two exclusionary phrases, ve'ein miut achar miut ela l'rabos, and Rabbi said, when you have two exclusionary phrases, one exclusionary phrase after the other, that comes to what? That comes to include. One exclusionary phrase after another comes to include. So Rabbi said, what does it come to include according to Rabbi Huda? It comes to include a chatzi avid chatzi ben chorin, that if you go ahead and you kidnap a chatzi avid chatzi ben chorin, you will in fact be chayiv. V'rabbanon, ha'en v'rabbanon dash in the pasuk, me'echav lafuki avadim. So from the word echav, they come to exclude avadim. So the Gemara says, I read that wrong. V'rabbanon, me'echav lafuki avadim lo mashmaluhu. But say they do not subscribe to that drasha of me'echav to exclude avadim. Daha echav hu b'mitzvos. Because Rabbi say, an eved is your brother in the realm of mitzvos. How so? That l'maisigan, as we just said before, an eved is chayv in mitzvos like an isha. So the Gemara goes weiter. B'nei Yisrael, mi b'nei Yisrael. So we have two other exclusionary phrases. B'nei Yisrael and mi b'nei Yisrael. Chayl mi'utei eved. One comes to exclude an eved. V'chayl mi'utei chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin. Fine. So Rabbi say, so ultimately, and this is the fundamental halachah between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Huda about a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin. Are you chayv ultimately again for stealing him or not, for kidnapping or not? And again, everything is based on whether or not they have a miut achamiut in the pasuk. Good. Asra l'goni of nefesh menes. We'll say, where do we see the lav? Where do we see the prohibition, the azhara, about stealing someone, about kidnapping? Where do we see the prohibition? So the Gemara says, Rav Yoshia Amar, milo signov. Rav Yoshia says, Rav Yoshia, we learn it out from lo signov in the Aseret HaDibros. Rav Yoshia owes lo signov in the Aseret HaDibros. Rav Yoshia does not refer to stealing money, but rather refers to gomnev nefashos, refers to kidnapping. Rav Yochanan Amar, milo yimkeru mimkeres eved. Rav Yochanan says that we go ahead and we see it from the pasuk that says, you shall not sell him like the selling of a slave. So from here you see that what? You can't sell a Jew like you would sell a slave. You could sell a slave as a piece of property, but you can't sell a Jew like that. So therefore, again, Rabbi Yochanan says, from here you see the prohibition on kidnapping. Because remember, again, as we established before, the prohibition on kidnapping is kidnapping and selling. Kidnapping and getting financial benefits from it. So the Gemara says, Velopligi. And the truth is, they're not really arguing. Marka chashev lav digneva. Umarka chashev lav dimechira. Both say they're actually speaking about two different lavim. The first opinion that says we learn out from Losignov, that's talking about the prohibition to kidnap. The second opinion that says lo yimkiru mimkeres eved, that's talking about the prohibition to sell someone who you kidnap. Tan Rabbanon. So we'll say, now the Gemara is going to go a little bit more in depth in the pasuk. Losignov, the pasuk says don't steal. Pikon leiv nefashas akasav medaber. Torah is talking about kidnapping. So the Gemara says, "Atom begonev nefashos, ain't other begonev mamon." So how do you know someone kidnapping? Maybe someone's stealing money. We'll say, right? Just there's dibros. How do I know that losignov means kidnapping? Maybe losignov means I can't steal someone else's money. To which the Gemara says, "Other begonev nefashos amrit seulamad mishlosh esrei midos shatora nedreshes bahem." The Bible says, listen to this. So says the Gemara, you can learn it out by employing one of the 13 exegetical principles. What's the principle? Davar halomei me'inyono. So we'll say, so remember again, one of the principles we have is davar halomei me'inyono, which means that you can go ahead and understand the meaning of something by looking at the context in which it is stated. So the Gemara says, b'makos of medaber b'nefashos. The Bible says, when you look at Los Signov, so we'll say, what's the general subject of the Psukim preceding and following Los Signov? So we'll say, we know. What's before Los Signov? Los Sirtzach, Los Sinaf, Los Signov, Los Sanabrecha, check. So we'll say, these are all prohibitions punishable by death. Says such a can dover halomid me in yono, the makos of Medar b'din nefashos. Torah's talking about capital crimes, afkan b'nefashos. So Rebbe says over here, stealing money doesn't make you chayiv misa, but stealing a person, kidnapping a person, absolutely does. Tanya Yidach, Rebbe says another rice that supports this. Lo signovu begonev mamon. So Rebbe says another pasuk. The pasuk says lo signovu velo sechachashu velo sheshakri ishvamiso. So Rebbe says, so the Torah says you shouldn't steal. This is talking about money. So the Gemara says, Atom begonev mamon oidel begonev nefashos. You say it's talking about money, maybe it's talking about kidnapping, maybe it's talking about people, to which the Gemara says, Say ulamad mishlosh esrei midos shatoron nedresh as well. So we'll say, again, the way we can understand what the pasuk is talking about is how? Let's look at context. What's the context? Davar alami me'inyon abamah kosu medaber. We'll say, what's the context? What's the subject matter the Torah is discussing? The mamon. We'll say, the Torah is speaking about different things, different financial wrongs that you cannot commit against another. Afkan b'mamon. So too over here again, when it says lo signovu, that's talking about not stealing money as well. So the Gemara goes by to us. Say, itmar, eide gneva ve'eide mechira. Let's listen to this. Eide gneva ve'eide mechira v'nefesh shehuzmu. So we'll say, the Gemara is talking about over here the following. Let's say you have witnesses who testify about the kidnapping, and witnesses who testify about the selling of the individual, shehuzmu, that now became edim zomamin. So both say, so again, we normally understand that what happens to edim zomamin, vasisim lo kasha zomam, there's reciprocity. So what do you do with these edim? Chizkiah says, ein neheragim. Chizkiah says they are not killed. Okay, also we're going to explain these shittos in just a moment. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nerag, and Rabbi Yochanan says they are killed. So Chizkiah Amar Damar Rabbi Akiva Amar Davar Velo Chatzi Davar. So we'll say, here's the problem. In this case, what do you have? You have two sets of witnesses that say, we saw Reuven kidnap Shimon. Two sets of witnesses that said, we saw Reuven sell Shimon. Then I both say, remember, when are you Chayiv Misa for kidnapping? If you kidnap and sell. The problem is, we don't have one set of witnesses who testified to both parts of this crime. Rather, you have two sets of witnesses, each who testify about their own part. So Chizkiah says, you can't execute. So let's say they're found to be Edom, they're found to be liars, they're found to be Edom. You can't execute them. Why can't you execute them? Because Chizkiah holds like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Davar v'lo chatzi davar. Both say, when the pasuk says, Lo yakum eid echad. When is it called Eidos? And by extension, when are Eidim subject to Azama? Only when? when they testify about a complete matter. But in this case over here, the witnesses are not testifying about a complete matter. Each one is giving partial testimony. Because of that, you can't execute them when they are found to be Edim Zoamin. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kirabon. And Amar Davar, Vapi Luchati Davar. Rabbi Yochanan was like the Chachamim, who say, like the Rabbon, say, no, say, that Edim could be Chayef even for Chatzi Davar. That at the end of the day, if they're giving a full unit of information, even if it's not the complete amount of information, there could still be his Chayef. So we'll say, fundamental machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan will hold that if the either set of witnesses are found to be Edim Zoamin, you could execute them, whereas Chizkia says you cannot. So the Gemara goes, Vayter Modi Chizkia. Chizkia would agree. Be'edim Achron Shaban Sora Rumora Shehozmu Shen Heragim. Bosa, listen to this. However, Chizkia would agree in the following situation. Bosa, we saw this earlier with a Ben Sora Rumora. Bosa, the halacha is the first time that he goes in and steals money to buy meat and wine. So what we do is we give him Malkus. We warn him. And we give him Malkus. And we'll say, then if he does it again, and a second set of witnesses testify about it, that's when we execute him. So even Chizkia agrees with the following. Umode Chizkia, Be'edim ha'achonim shaban sora mora. The second set of witnesses are both said, testify about a ben sora mora, that he stole money for meat and wine. Shehuzmu, that are both said, became Edim Zomamin. Shen Heragin, that you could execute them. Why? Mitoch she'echolim loma harishonim amadeis lahalkos sobanu. Because they both said, the first set of witnesses could come along and say, look, at the end of the day, our testimony did not really contribute to his death penalty. Our testimony just got him Malkus. It's through the second set of witnesses who are fully responsible for what? Who are fully responsible for the death penalty for this individual. So I will say, because of that, because they could say that the second set of witnesses bear the full responsibility for the death penalty, therefore what? Even though you can't have the first, second set of witnesses without what? Without what? Without the first. Nevertheless, the first only chayiv for Malkus. The first only made him chayiv in Malkus. It's the second one who made him chayiv in Misa. Therefore, if the second are made into Edim Zomamin, you can execute them. So the Gemara said, the second set of witnesses are fully responsible for the death of the Ben Sora Mora. So Rapapa says, one second, if that's the logic, then let's go back to our original case. Two witnesses say, we saw Reuven kidnap Shimon. Two witnesses come along and say, we saw Reuven sell Shimon. So remember, Chizkiah said you can't execute either of them because it's davar velo chatzi davar. But now says Rapapa, based on what we just said by Ben Sora Rumora, so you should be able to execute the Edim Mechir if they become Edim Zomamin. Why? Mitoch sheyecholin Edei Gneiva lomar lalkos sobanu. Because at the end of the day, the first set of witnesses who testified that we saw Reuven kidnap Shimon, they could say all we were making Reuven was chayv, was what Rabbi saying? Was Malkus. Was Malkus, was lashes. Because you only get Malkus for just kidnapping, not kidnapping, kidnapping by itself. If you kidnap someone, but you don't sell them, you only get Malkus. So all our Edus came along and really did was to make him Chayv and Malkus. But what? But the second set of witnesses who testified about the Mechira, they're really the ones who are making Chayiv Nisa. Therefore, again, we should look at their testimonial unit as a complete testimonial unit. And if they become Edim Zomamin, we should execute them. To which the Gemara says, V'chi Teima de Kasavra Chizkia de Lo Laki. Maybe you'll say that at the end of the day, Chizkia holds that you don't get Malkus for just stam kidnapping. Well, that's not true. V'ha Itmar Edigin, bless you. V'ha Itmar Edigineva Be'efesh V'nefesh Shehuzmu. Well, say that if you have witnesses who testified that they saw Reuven kidnap Shimon, and then they're made into Edim Zomamin, Chizkia Verbi Yochanan, Chad Amar Lokin, V'chad Amar En Lokin. One opinion says they get Malkus, one opinion says they don't get Malkus. V'amrinan, and we say, Tistayim de Chizkia da Amar Lokin. And we'll say, we would assume that Chizkia is the one who holds that you get Malkus. How so? Mid Amar Chizkia ein Neharagin. Since Chizkia says you're not executed, the Rabbi Yochanan, because we'll say, if you want to say it's Rabbi Yochanan, Kevan da Amar Neharagin, since Rabbi Yochanan says that they can be killed, Edim Zomamin can be killed for what Rabbi Yochanan for going ahead and being Edim Zomamin about the actual kidnapping, even without the Mechira. So the Gemara says, Havilei Lav Shinitin Lazar's Bezdin. This then becomes a law, a law of Rabbi Yochanan that is punishable by Misa's Bezdin. The Chalav Shinitin Lazar's Misa's Bezdin Ein Lokin Alov. And Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is you don't get Malkus any time that there's a law punishable by Misa's Bezdin. Ihu Lo Laki. So we'll say, if the perpetrator wouldn't get Malkus, Inhu hechi laku, could we give the Edom Zomim in Malkus? Ela Amar Apapa, rather Apapa was it says the following. Beidi Mechira, the Kuli Amalo Pligi Dinei Ragin. So we'll say now we are reframing the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiah. And we're going to say is the following. When it comes Rabbi Osei to Edi Mechira, who are the Edi Mechira? Those are the witnesses who say, we saw Reuven sell Shimon. We saw Reuven sell Shimon. Everyone will agree that when it comes to Edim Mechira and the Arabos, let's say they're found to be Edim Zomimin, they're found to be false witnesses, everyone will agree that what? That they are executed. Everyone will agree they're executed. So we'll say why. Now both say, now understand, everyone will agree they're executed. Why? Because it's clear that it is their testimony that what? That makes Reuven the kidnapper Chayiv Misa. Therefore, if it turns out that they are Edim Zomimin, Basisim Lo Kasha, Zomam, they in fact can be executed. So we'll say, so where is the Machlokes? Chizkiah Rabbi Yochanan, ki pligi be'ide gneiva. Abba said, where is the machlokes? The machlokes is if witnesses come along and say, we saw Reuven kidnap Shimon. We just saw the kidnapping. Abba said, then it turns out that what? That the witnesses are Edom Zomimin. So Chizkiah Amar ein neheragin. Chizkiah says, listen, even if they're found to be Edom Zomim, you can't execute those witnesses. Why? Because gneiva luchud dakaima, umechir luchud dakaima. Because Rabbi said the act of Geneva and the act of Mechira are two different acts. And one is not Chayiv for the act of, one is not Chayiv Misa for the act of Geneva. Therefore, if the witnesses are ultimately found to be lying about the fact that Reuven kidnapped Shimon, it's fine. You could flog them, you could punish them, but you can't kill them. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Neheragim. Rabbi Yochanan says they are killed. Why? Rabbi said, listen to this. Geneva aschalta de Mechirahi. Because Rabbi said, kidnap. Meaning, the way that Rabbanan say it is the following. This is one long, continuous act. Meaning, the kidnapping is one act that begins with what, Rabbi Osai? That begins with what? That begins with kidnapping. Right? It begins the Maisa with Reuven kidnapping Shimon, and ultimately it culminates, or it reaches its apex, with Reuven selling Shimon. But it's, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's like a Maisa Arichta. It's one long act. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Osai, whether the witnesses become Edom Zomimin on the Gneva, on the kidnapping, or on the Mechira, either way you could execute those witnesses, Rabbi Osai, because again it's considered to be a Maisa Richta, one long act of kidnapping. So by the way, just so you should know, pause here for just a moment, that's how we pass him. So again, remember, we pass him that in order to be chayiv for kidnapping, you have to kidnap and sell the victim. That's where you chayiv misa on kidnapping. But from an Edom Zomim perspective, Rabbi Osai, whether you have, so if, again, our case, we're dealing with two sets of witnesses. One set of witnesses testify about the act of kidnapping, and the second who testify about the act of selling. We pass in Rabbi Osai like this last version of the Machlokes, that if witnesses are found to be Zomim on either stage of this crime, they will be Chayiv Misa. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because again, from the time that he kidnaps him to the time that he sells him, it's considered to be one elongated, protracted, a Maisa Arichta. Umod Rabbi Yochanan will agree, Beidim Arisham Shaben Soru, Mor Shehuzmu. Rabbi Osai, the one case where Rabbi Yochanan will agree with Chizkiah will be Rabbi Osai in the case of the Edim Rishonim Shaben Soru, Mor. Remember again, this is the first set of witnesses who come to Beis Din who claim that what? Who testify that we saw this child steal money to purchase meat and wine, steal money from his parents to purchase meat and wine. They will say, so again, remember, what's the chiyuv of the Ben Soramon in that circumstance? Malchus. When he's a first-time offender, he gets Malchus. So Rabbi Yochanan will agree that if those witnesses are found to be Edom Zomim, then what? She'en neheragin. They will say they're not executed. Because they will say at the end of the day, they ketaina, we didn't come to make him chayiv misa, we just came to make him chayiv what? To make him chayiv malchus. Amar Abaye says, listen to this. This is a fascinating formulation, which is going to make no sense at first. Amar Abaye, hakol mode beben sorer umora. Everyone agrees in the case of ben sorer umora. Vahakol mode beben sorer umora. And everyone agrees in the case of ben sorer umora. Umachlokes beben sorer umora. But there is a machlokes with ben sorer umora. So we'll say, so what does this mean? Sakomodim beben sorer umora. So we'll say, ultimately, again, what does it mean everyone agrees in the case of ben sorer umora? Be'idim harishonim, she'in neheragim. So we'll say everyone agrees that in the case of the first set of witnesses by Ben Sora Ramora. We'll say, so remember again, these are the witnesses who came after the first time offense to Ben Sora Ramora. Everyone agrees that if those witnesses are found to be Edom Zomim, that we don't kill them. Why? Mitoch sheyecholin lomar lahal koso banu. Because we'll say at the end of the day, they could claim, we did not come to go ahead and execute the kid, rather what did we come to do? To give him Malkus. So everybody agrees, Rabbi Osai, that if the first set of witnesses, about the first time offense of Ben Sora Mora, come and are found to be Edom Zomim, that you can't kill those witnesses, the most you could do is you could flog them. So Rabbi Osai, everyone agrees that on the second set of witnesses, Rabbi Osai, those are the second set of witnesses who testify that the Ben Sora Mora stole money to purchase meat and wine. Actually, they stole money from his parents to purchase meat and wine. And then they're found to be Edom Zomim. Everyone agrees that what? That you can execute those witnesses. Why? Because we'll say at the end of the day, it's those second set of witnesses who are mamish responsible for the potential execution of the kid. Because the first set of witnesses could always just say what? We only came to get the kid Malkus. So the Gemara says, "Vahani kulei davar ka'avdile," and therefore the second set of witnesses really established the entire matter on their own. Umachlokes beben sora remora. So we'll say, what's the machlokes case of ben sora remora? Shnayim omrim befaneinu ganav, v'shnayim omrim befaneinu achal. So we'll say, listen to this. So now the machlokes case, we'll say, is what happens if you don't have two witnesses on the whole act? We'll say, rather instead, what you have two witnesses who say, we saw the kid steal the money, and two witnesses who say, we saw the kid eat the meat and drink the wine. So we'll say, remember again, do these two sets of witnesses, so if you look at Rashi says over here, Shnayim Rom Befanenu Achal, Habaser Bishos Acherim, Deinu Chayiv Atshigna Mishal Aviv, Yochal Bishos Acherim, Hanach Shtei Kisos, Tzricho Zula Zu. So we'll say, remember again, both of these sets of witnesses need each other. Because neither of them can really exist on their own. So we'll say this will be the machlokes ultimately again between Chizkia and the Rabbanon. This will be the fundamental machlokes. Is this considered to be a davar or a chatzi davar? So this is the fundamental machlokes. So we'll say that's what it means. Everyone agrees that in the first set of witnesses who come from Ben Sora Mora, you can't execute them if they're made to be Edom Zomim. Everyone will agree in the second set of witnesses that if they are found to be Edom Zomim, you can execute them. The Machlokes case is in a case where you have two witnesses who say, we saw the kid steal the money, and two witnesses who say, we saw the kid use the money to purchase meat and wine. So we'll say, and those witnesses are found to be Edom Zomimin. Can you execute them or not? That will be the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkia. Amar Abasi, Eidei Mechira B'Nefesh Shehuzmu. Supposed to listen to this. Let's say you have the following. You have two witnesses who testify that they saw Reuven sell Shimon. Rashi says over here, Eidei Mechira B'Nefesh, V'lo bo Eidei Geneva Al-Kach Lefenem. We'll say, now this is an interesting case. In this case over here, so I don't have testimony that Reuven kidnapped Shimon. Instead, what I have testimony is that Reuven sold Yossi. Thank you. I had Reuven sell Shimon. So what's this? You hear this? So there was never testimony in Beis Din that said Reuven kidnapped Shimon. Only testimony in Beis Din that Reuven sold Shimon. So what I say? What happened in this case? Now those witnesses become Edom Zomimin. What happens? I both say. Ain neheragim. So we'll say they can't be executed. Why not? Mitoch sheyochal lomar avdi macharti. Because we'll say, listen to this. Reuven has a good defense. What's his good defense? We'll say, sure, I sold Shimon. You know why? He's my eved. I could sell. He's my eved. He's my property. I could sell him if I want. Therefore, it's true. You did in fact see me sell a person, but that person is mine to sell. So the Marz Amar of Yosef Kiman Azlah Shmeis Dravasi. So I will say, whose opinion is reflected in this statement of Ravasi? Rabbi Akiva, Damar Davar Velo Chatzi Davar. So I will say, this seems to support the view of Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds in general, testimony, I will say, must be a complete Davar, a complete matter, and not a Chatzi Davar. So therefore, in this case of here, I will say, where witnesses are showing up, and they say, we saw Reuven sell Shimon. Okay, so you can't really, you say, even if they're from the Ibn Zon, you can't execute them, because it's a Chatzi Davar, it's only a half a matter. Because Abai, because according to the Rabbanon, if these witnesses who testified that they saw Reuven sell Shimon, they could, and they were found to be Edom Zom, and you cared to execute them, so the Gemara says, Ha mitoch kamar. So the Gemara says, 1 second. How could, even according to the Rabbanon, you couldn't execute the witnesses at Edom Zom and why? Because we just said before that Reuven has a valid claim. What's Reuven's valid claim? Reuven could say, yes, you saw me sell Shimon, but Shimon is who? Shimon is my Eved, and I have every right to sell him. You have to say that even according to the Rabbanon, you could not execute the witnesses if they became Edom Zomim based on this testimony. And we have to be talking about a case where Ede Geneva never shut up. So obviously all I have in this case over here is what? There's two witnesses who showed up and said, we saw Reuven sell Shimon. That's what, we saw Reuven sell Shimon. So Rabbi say now they're found to be Edom Zomim, so he can't go and execute those witnesses. Why? Because apparently Reuven could say to Shimon, I saw you go ahead. Reuven could say, yes, I sold Shimon, but he was my slave. Rabbi say, I don't understand. So what's the novelty in this case? If there's no Edi Geneva, if there are no witnesses that say that Reuven kidnapped Shimon, and all you have are what? Witnesses who say that Reuven sold Shimon, and Reuven could say, yes, I sold Shimon because he's my Eved, and the witnesses then become Edom Zomim. What's the novelty in saying that what? That they can't be executed for that. Obviously they can be executed for that. Yachimai lememra, lo tzvicha, da'ap agav da'asu lebasof. I will say, listen to this. Even though the Ede Geneva came at the end of this matter, we still do not go ahead and pay any heed to their words. Rashi says, Libaso, first wide line, Acher she idu Ede Nechira, bo Ede Geneva, v'nigmar dina pishneem, to which the Gemara says, Vakati maile memra. So I don't stand still. What's the novelty over here? Look at Rashi, Vakati maile memra. Kishe idu harishunum lo hayu hadin roi ligmar al piem. Was at the end of the day, still when the first set of witnesses who attested about the fact that Reuven sold Shimon, there was not enough to convict. To which the Gemara says, listen to this. The Kamaramzi Ramuze. It will say, we see the witnesses, right, the two sets of witnesses signaling to each other. Mao de Tema, Ramiza Milsehi. Out of Azrabo say that the fact that they're signaling to each other indicates that what? That they're one cohesive testimonial unit. Therefore, again, the Gemara teaches me that the Ramiza, any kind of motion in between the two sets of witnesses, does not at all make them into what? One cohesive testimonial unit. Fine, Rabbi said, let's begin the Mishnah, and we'll stop after the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Zakin Mamre. Rabbi said, now we're going to get into a fascinating discussion of the Zakin Mamre. So who is the Zakin Mamre? So we'll listen to this. Api Bezdin. So Zakin Mamre can only become a Zakin Mamre based on his unwillingness to heed the ruling of Beis Din. We'll say Shneimar Kili Pali Mimcha Davar LeMishpat. So we'll say here's the process. Shlosha Batei Dinin Hayusha. We'll say there are three courts we're going to see situated on the Harabayis. What are the three courts? Echad Yoshev Al Pesach Harabayis. So we'll say one sat at the entrance we have the Temple Mount. Ve'echad Yoshev Al Pesach Hazara. One sat at the entranceway of the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. Ve'echad Yoshev Belishkas Hagazis. So we'll say, and one sat in the chamber of hewn stone, which was an actual chamber in the Beis Hamikdash. So we'll say, so court number one was situated at the entranceway to Harabayis. Court number two, situated at the entranceway to the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. And court number three, which is the high court, the high, what we call the Sanhedrin Agadol, situated again in the chamber of hewn stone, one of the chambers in the Beis Hamikdash. So we'll say, listen to this. So Boim Lazeh, so we'll say, the scene is the following. Boim Lazeh Shal Pesach Harabayis. So we'll say, the case over here is, this all begins with a simple machlokis in halacha. We have, again, two groups, one zakin, one sage, and another group of sages who are locked in a machlokis in halacha, and were unable to resolve this dispute amongst themselves. So we'll say, now what the Mishnah teaches me is, there's a progression or a process for dispute resolution. The first stop is Bo'in Lazeh Shal Pesach Harabayis. So we'll say the first stop is you go to the first high court number one, which is at the entranceway to the Temple Mount. Va'omer, kach darashti v'kach darshu chaveri, kach limarati v'kach limdu chaveri. So we'll say, so what happens? The Zakin says, listen, here's my side. And his fellow rabbanim present their side. Im shamu amr lahem. So we'll say, if court number one has a masorah regarding this particular halachic question, So court number one rules for the parties. Passes psak halacha. Vim lav. Rabbi says, let's say court number one says, we don't know what the halacha is in this case. Then, Rabbi says, what happens? The zaken, the particular sage, and his disputants go to the second court. Court number two is where? At the entranceway of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And again, same speech. So again, the Zakin says, here's my position. His chaverim, his friends say, here's our position. Im shamu. So I will say, if court number two has a misora regarding this matter, then amar lahem, then ultimately again, they respond, this is the halacha as we know it. V'im lav. But I will say, if they have no misora regarding this matter, then what? They kick it up the chain. Elu v'elu bo'in lebezin agolush v'lushkasekot. So I will say, now this actually, Rashi points out, elu v'elu is an interesting lashon. Elu v'elu sounds like everyone goes to the high court, to what we call the Sanhedrin HaGadol. We'll say, who's everyone? Who's everyone? See, everyone sounds like not just the disputants, but also who? The members of the two other Batei Din, who didn't know the answer. Everyone comes to the Sanhedrin HaGadol in the Lishkas HaGadol. Shemimenu Yotzei Torah L'chol Yisrael. Because we'll say, from the Lishkas HaGadol to the Sanhedrin HaGadol, they dispense halacha for all of Klal Yisrael. Shneimar, min hamakom ahu asher yivchar Hashem. So we'll say, so what happens? Now the Sanhedrin paskind. Now we'll say, the way this plays out is the following. The case over here is the Sanhedrin paskind against the individual and in line with the majority. That's just the case. That's just the way this played out. So right, so therefore again, what we call the Zakim, who was the guy on one side, he was wrong. He was determined to be wrong ultimately by the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Now what happens? Chazar le'iro. So if the Zakim goes back to his city, Shana v'laman v'dash shayalamad pater, v'mhora lasos chayiv. So we'll say, If when giving shir, he continues to teach in accordance with his shita, fine, it's no problem. In the shir, he can say whatever he wants, right? But if he paskins halacha and instructs people to follow his ruling, even though what's already happened, the Sanhedrin HaGadol has ruled against him. But if he persists in disseminating that the halacha follows him, then b'mhor lasos chayiv. We'll say that is a zakin mamre. So interestingly enough, this is fascinating. There was like, when you learn, in learning, a person always has to be careful to distinguish between what's said in the context of learning versus what's halacha lemaisa. There are a lot of things we learn that are not halacha lemaisa. So if the Zakin comes back, and when he delivers a shir, he still says, you know, this is how I see the sugya, or this is how I see the halacha, and he's saying it, but Torah's learning, that's fine. It becomes a Zakin mamre when he persists in ultimately saying the halacha follows me. Even though the Sanhedrin HaGadol ruled against him, he still says the halacha follows me. I will say, that's a Zakin mamre, that's chayiv. Shneimar, v'ish asher ya'aseh bezadon, eino chayiv ad sheyore la'asos. A Zakin mamre, I will say, is only chayiv if he persists in saying that psak halacha follows me. But I say, we'll end off with this. Talmud shore la'asos, pater, nimtza chumro kolos. Let's listen to this. If you have a Talmud, so I will say, let's say you have just a regular guy. Talmud means like a regular, simple Talmud Chacham, right? Rashi says we're a Talmud, shelohi gia lahora. So this is someone who is a Talmud Chacham, but he has not reached the age of psak. The nechlak al bezin shebi'iro, Rashi says, and the Bezin of a city issues a particular ruling, and he argues on the Bezin. Obala Bezin agadol v'shalu v'chazol iro v'horikim t'chila, pater, shen lismoch al hara aso, v'atar lo chai ve'ele mufla mumcha l'Bezin. Both of this is actually fascinating. So you have to say the following situation. You have a guy in the town, who's a Talmud Chacham, but he's not a posek. He gets into a machlokes with the Bezin of his town. They go back up, they go up to Yerushalayim, the Bezin paskins against the Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham comes back to his city, and what? Still continues to paskin halacha, like him, and in opposition to the psak of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Rabbi says it doesn't become a zakin mamre. Why doesn't it become a zakin mamre? Because the truth is, to become a zakin mamre, you have to rate, you have to be a zakin. You have to be a posek. This guy is a nunnik, but he's not a zakin mamre. He's not a zakin mamre. So this is actually amazing, meaning that not everyone who paskin, you know, like what they're essentially saying is, there are plenty of people who like to preach things in opposition to halacha and in opposition to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. And for 98% of those people, the response we have to them is what? Who are you? Who are you? What do you know to even paskin against anyone? What do you don't know enough halacha? You're not a posik. You're not anything. But you're not anything in this context. To be a zakin mamre, the Mishnah is teaching me is, a person has to be a zaken. That's the first. We'll say, and zaken in this context means someone who paskins halacha. So the Mishnah therefore says, nimsa chumro kulo. Therefore, we'll say, it turns out that the chumro, what's the chumro? The chumro is that this individual who is, does not have a license to paskin halacha turns out to be his kula. In other words, the chumro, we'll say, that we don't learn a paskin halacha turns out to be the very fact that what? That mamish saves his life. Because if he was able to paskin halacha, and he paskined against the Sanhedrin, then he'd be chayiv misa. The fact that he's not allowed to paskin halacha, even though now he's passing against the Sanhedrin, ultimately, again, I will say, saves his life because he doesn't qualify to be a zakin mamre. So stop over here, and we'll pick up here at the Gemara tomorrow. Josh,